What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. This is the Backstage Report podcast. I know that a lot of you are new. What we do here, we bring you about 20, 25 minutes of some exclusive news that Fightful has reported over the past week or so with some additional details. We provide some background, some color on some other situations. But we also give you contract, injury, and stat updates. Let's go ahead and get into it. The big story of the week. We did confirm the Wrestling Inc. story that they ran about WWE asking their talent to cease third-party agreements. That is true. We posted the letter itself, which allegedly followed a phone call last Sunday, where it was specified that that WWE wanted talent to cease third-party activities. Now, there are some real gray areas here. There were reports from Wrestling Inc. saying that WWE informed wrestlers that they own their real names. That was a foggy statement from what I understand. One wrestler said, oh, that's not really true. That was not in the letter, and I can confirm that was not in the letter. But I think that means wrestlers whose names are trademarked by WWE. But the letter sent Thursday from Vince McMahon says, quote, furthering my comments last Sunday regarding the reinvention of our product, it is imperative that we promote and protect our brand in every conceivable way. Some of you are engaged with outside third parties using your name and likeness in ways that are detrimental to our company. It is imperative that these activities be terminated within the next 30 days by Friday, October 2. Continued violations will result in fine, suspension, or termination at WWE's discretion. These actions are necessary in order to rebuild our brand as we enter the next phase of growth at WWE. I thank you for your cooperation on this matter and for all of your efforts towards the rejuvenation of WWE, signed Vince. I reached out to WWE on the matter, and it was a very vague statement. I reached out specifically to say, does this include people who use their real names, whether they use them on screen or not? And I was not given a real answer. I was given the standard press release answer. And wrestlers that I've spoken to that use their real names are still very foggy on the situation, and they're not quite sure. Many main roster members hadn't even heard the news and had only glanced over the letter, while others were really livid about the request. One top name told me, though, that they weren't upset, saying that they realized that Cameo definitely cuts into the virtual meet-and-greet market. And another longtime star, said that the WWE is setting themselves up for a rough situation, as this is a foggy area with their classification as independent contractors. Originally, word was WWE were upset about sensitive information leaking during the streams, and basically it was a catch-all. Like, they're outside third-party deals, there's Cameo, there's Twitch streams, there's all this stuff that they think undercut some of their products. Now, there were some that were outraged. It was not unanimous. In the initial language, WWE was foggy, but Fightful, we did ask about the real names, and then when we followed up with wrestlers, they said if WWE wants us to stop streaming, they are going to need to renegotiate our contracts to compensate for the limitations and the changes that we face as a result. Nobody that I spoke to had any intent of stopping their Cameo, their Twitch, their YouTube, anything that they're doing. Not a one. And I probably talked to a dozen people about this. A dozen people that have those services. And none of them say that they're going to stop this. What a mess. NXT. Oh, boy. So it aired Tuesday night last week, and we'll do the same this week. This leaves about 4 out of 5 weeks where AEW and NXT run unopposed of one another. Thus far, numbers have greatly benefited all around from this, leading to speculation about a potential night move for them. This has actually been a pitch floated long before this. A few months ago, when I had heard about the draft and the plans for WWE to try to get fans live in July, I had heard about USA Network floating the idea to WWE and NXT of possibly running Tuesday nights. Now, this is a benefit of circumstance. The NHL playoffs are on Wednesday right now. That's more important than WWE NXT. So NXT is getting a look on Tuesdays. Now, keep in mind, they're getting better numbers on a night that isn't their regular night. and against no competition within wrestling. Those that we've spoken to within WWE say that they have not been opposed to it. They haven't really pushed back on it. They've been even receptive to it. And that USA isn't as committed to the competition aspect of NXT on Wednesday night, considering it costs them viewers. And we have not been told anything firm of now. Wrestlers and officials have not been informed of a change. And we were told that these were a bit of a test run, even though it is a benefit of circumstance, so to speak. I personally think they'll change it. If I'm NXT, I want those extra 200,000 viewers. I don't care about a silly wrestling war. I care about making that money. That's what I care about. Raw Underground. As I mentioned, several Raw Undergrounds were scrapped before they ever made air 2 weeks ago. They ended up airing on last week's Raw, but with some changes. Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir both had showcase matches on Raw Underground last week that were received very well by those in attendance. However, neither one of those ended up on broadcast because the focus was shifted to Bobby Lashley. The following week, the matches were refilmed and adjusted for time. I think originally they each got about a minute each to work and do whatever they wanted. However, that was cut significantly because they wanted to incorporate the split of the Iconics and attack Billy Kay in the story. That ended up working out better for all involved, I would imagine. Titus O'Neil and Riddick Moss was another match that was slated for 2 weeks ago. It ended up airing the following week. Don't know if that was the same footage or not. There's also a lost match, so to speak. Dolph Ziggler versus Ivar was filmed for 2 weeks ago, to the point where WWE actually mentioned it on the air, but the match was never broadcast, and Angel Garza showed up at the end, and it led to a big breakdown. So that is just completely lost right now. Completely lost right now is Brock Lesnar. His merchandise disappeared from WWE shop. He is a free agent. We'll add some more to that later. But I'm told that this is nothing big. WWE is not concerned about it. This happens every year. It just happened a little bit longer this time. Lesnar still owes a hefty fine and has to get back in the USADA pool and be tested for a minimum of 6 months if he were to return to the UFC. So I would not count on that. You can probably count on Eric Young, though. He's confirmed to me that he has signed a 2-year exclusive contract with Impact Wrestling, and that will be his sole focus during that period. You know, outside of, within wrestling. There you go. He said that he was already set up for life and didn't need to continue wrestling, but that he wanted to, and that Scott D'Amore made the call to bring him in, and his familiarity with Scott helped ease his mind a little bit about coming into the company. He expanded on the Vince McMahon comments and says he doesn't think Vince McMahon had anything against him, but thinks that Vince failed himself, the fans, and shareholders by not doing anything with him, and he called it one of Vince McMahon's biggest mistakes. He told me that he still talks to Triple H and considers the 2 years that he was in NXT as some of the best times of his entire career. He's very serious about carrying the Impact Wrestling banner, and I know that there are a lot of people that are going to lull TNA this stuff and all that crap, but Eric Young, at really, probably from Slammiversary, was the best choice to be their world champion. Eddie Edwards, all due respect to him, great competitor. Eric Young, that angle is white hot, and he's really, really good. He's just so good. You see the motivation there. You see the intent there, and you see how well he's really wedged into this role. And we talked about his versatility and how that leads him to be able to be comfortable in any situation. And he said, you know what, sometimes you could look at it as a curse because I get anchored to one certain thing, but he looks at it more as a gift. Ricky Starks has been a gift to AEW. He told me that a lot of people thought that he was signed immediately after his match with Cody, but that was not the case. Tony Khan has said that the light bulb went off when he saw Ricky Starks in the ring. Now, I don't know if that was live or on TV, because Ricky Starks said that it wasn't until the match aired the following Wednesday when Tony Khan called him and offered him a contract. Arn Anderson extended to Ricky how lucky he was, because that doesn't really happen a lot these days. But they're off to the races. They had an idea. Tony Khan already had it in his mind what he was going to do with Ricky Starks. The Darby Allin impersonation was actually Ricky's idea, and he pitched it to Khan directly. And Khan didn't give him much of a response, just like, oh yeah, that's cool. And then a few weeks later, they were like, hey, get painted up. We're going to do that thing that you pitched. So Ricky said that it came really natural to him because he was able to... He mocks people all the time and does, like, mimic voices and things like that. Wow, Women of Wrestling, there is no real update on them. They got booted off of Access by the Anthem regime. And the company has been in touch with talent, saying they're hoping they can make something work. Thunder Rosa told me that she would like to serve as a trainer for the girls there and believes that David McClain can make almost anything happen. She's got a lot of belief in David McClain, considering the fact that he got them on Access, was able to get Jeannie Buss involved. He does make things happen. For better or worse, David McClain makes things happen. Thunder Rosa also said that she is not done with MMA. Even though she lost her first MMA fight last year, she told me that she is actually under contract for 3 more fights and said that since the pandemic, she's been primarily focused on MMA training and hasn't practiced a lot of wrestling. And you could not tell that based on her performance at All Out because it was great. She said she's never been contacted by WWE or Impact to wrestle, but she was actually set for a WWE tryout last September as a referee. Hurricane Dorian caused a lot of things to get canceled, and the tryout would have interfered with the training for her MMA fight, so she passed it up, and she said, thank you for the opportunity, I hope that you'll be in touch, but said that she did not regret the decision and is open with working with WWE in the future, but likes for the companies to contact her instead of the other way around. She said that she is not going to beat somebody's door down. She wants to know that she's wanted. So if you want Thunder Rosa, you need to contact Thunder Rosa. If you are a wrestling company, if you are a promoter, and you want Thunder Rosa, she's not sliding into your DMs trying to get booked. You got to bring it to her. And that's what Billy Corgan did with AEW. A lot of people thought that because she's so ambitious and she's wrestled for so many different promotions, that maybe this was something that she helped make. Because, I mean, she promotes wrestling, too. This was to promote her Mission Pro show on September 18th, which I hope you all check out. Because it's an all-women's promotion, and definitely one that Ring of Honor and AEW should specifically be paying attention to. So a lot of people thought, okay, well, Thunder Rosa probably got that deal done herself. No. Tony Khan hit up Billy Corgan. They had a previous relationship. Billy Corgan went to Thunder Rosa and said, hey, you're going to be wrestling on AEW All Out. And she was like, oh, cool. Like, she wasn't expecting it to go down, but doesn't consider it a surprise either. The stuff that she filmed for AEW before, they actually brought her to Jacksonville. That wasn't filmed remotely or anything. She was there for Jacksonville and was very excited about how the signing went and how all that unfolded. And obviously there is a big hole in the National Wrestling Alliance right now. I look at her doing Mission Pro. I look at her doing some other stuff. She's been on TV for multiple promotions. And I said, hey, how would you like to book there? And she said, yeah, if that opportunity came up, I would love an opportunity to help run that end of the NWA. She admitted that she needs to learn the video editing side of things a lot more, but she's been taking steps to get more adept of that at late. And she didn't outright ignore David Lagana's name or anything like that after he resigned after the allegations towards him. But she said he was a one-stop shop, and he was. That's the thing. Good, bad, indifferent, how you feel about Dave Lagana, what he did, what he's accused of. He did everything for them. He booked a lot of the stuff. He did a lot of the video editing. He helped make sets. He did everything. He would reach out to wrestlers. He would help do media. And a lot of that is stuff that Thunder Rosa is able to do on her own as well. Like, she has wrestled for Stardom, WOW, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, NWA, and AEW. It had a tryout set with WWE, albeit as a ref. So she is heavily experienced in a lot of different television production settings. And she told me that she sits in on a lot of stuff, or did with WOW, because they had some former Lucha Underground producers there. So she would sit in and try to learn that aspect of things. Mark my words, Thunder Rosa is probably going to be a force in not just in wrestling, but in other sides of wrestling. She wants to be a trainer. She wants to be a wrestler. She wants to help book stuff. She wants to promote. And I don't doubt that she's going to do anything like that. I gotta interview Thunder Rosa again soon. I had so much stuff to talk about and not as much time as I would have liked. But she was very generous with that and was able to do that interview the week before the biggest match of her entire life on pay-per-view in front of a pretty big audience, so I thank her for that. That was a really good one. We also have some injury updates. Last Monday after we filmed, we learned that Rey Mysterio actually tore his triceps at the last pay-per-view. He was replaced by Dominic Mysterio in his match on Raw. The early report is that Rey Mysterio will not have to undergo surgery. In fact, he will be able to rehab that injury and return. Here's to hoping that he does. Stem cells have done wonders for him, but can't keep the muscle on the bone, so to speak. Hopefully that he gets back and is competing at the same high level that he has been over the last couple of years. We saw Jey Uso return to the ring. Now, I know a lot of you might be saying, hey, Jey isn't the one that was hurt. Yeah, well, we don't just keep up injury updates. We do inactive updates. And Jey Uso had been out of action since May 25th. There were a couple of matches that Jimmy Uso had wrestled since his injuries, but really, Jey's last three matches have been singles matches, dating all the way back to a tag team title match that Jey Uso competed in April, and it was a singles match. There was a battle royal for the Intercontinental title. It was like to get in that tournament. He was in that, and then he was not seen for 3.5 months. But he came back, and he won the Universal title top contender match, so everything he's been in has had stakes since, like, March. It's just a matter of him not being around since March. Jimmy is still out of action. I wouldn't expect to see him back anytime soon. If he's got a torn ACL, as originally feared, then I wouldn't expect to see him back anytime soon. It has been 5 months since he's wrestled, but hoping that he heals up soon, because I do miss the Usos, but I'm excited to see what Jey does. Aria Daivari and Brian Kendrick both returned to 205 Live over the past couple of weeks. They had been out of action since March. Dr. Britt Baker, she had a fractured leg on the, I think it was the May 20th AEW Dynamite, and was pulled from Double or Nothing. She was set to return All Out 2020, and she did, but I'm told that she is still not cleared for complete competition as of yet. Matt Hardy, a lot of conflicting information, and I'm going to wait until it comes from Matt Hardy himself. Rebby says he had a concussion. Tony said that he didn't. He returned to the match after taking a nasty bump. I just hope he's okay. I'm not a doctor. I don't have his information. I am not Matt Hardy, and I do not know. I've reached out, and I don't have a firm answer as of yet. EC3 wrestled his first match since September 30th at an independent wrestling show. And I mean September 30th last year, obviously. Don't adjust your calendars. It was reported that Jeff Hardy has, like, until the end of next year on his deal. I know he's at least got until March 2021. That's due to injury time contract extension. And, I mean, if WWE has that opportunity, they're going to just keep extending him over and over again. Why wouldn't they? Lots of transactions. We mentioned Anthony Green signed, Brandi Lauren signed, Kurt Stallion, Josh Briggs, Jake Clemens. However, Brock Lesnar's WWE contract has expired. Whoops. I think he'll end up back with WWE. Mauro Ranallo and Renee Young leave. Those are two pretty integral pieces of the broadcast team. I'm sure they're both going to land on their feet. Renee Young could do anything that she wanted. Mauro Ranallo is one of the most in-demand combat sports commentators in the world, and he will be just fine. But I wish all the success in the world tomorrow. I kind of grew up listening to him, grew up in combat sports listening to him, I should say that. Authors of Pain, Rezar and Akam, both got released. Rezar had just been cleared after being out of action for 5 months. I don't get this unless something happened, and I have not heard of anything happening. These two had major upside. I don't know why WWE would have released them. They have got to be in-demand free agents. Alex Shelley is a free agent. He noted that he is working without a contract. He's working in Impact as their tag team champion. Chris Sabin does have a contract, though, a multi-year deal, and he's got a producer gig. Arturo Ruiz, he is on Raw, I think. He's done a couple Raw Undergrounds and main events. That's just listed for the transactional purposes. But let's get into stats. Raw last week featured Owens versus Orton for the second time in August, Shelton versus Apollo for the third time in August, and the fifth time since June. A match featuring Dominic versus Seth Rollins for the fourth time in 8 days. The Iconics and Riot Squad happened 4 times in August as well, and their feud, by all intents and purposes, was 9-10 matches long. Angel Garza and Andrade have had 3 matches with the Street Profits since July 20th, plus like 5 singles matches. Yikes. Colt Cabana lost for the first time since joining the Dark Order. Jey Uso wrestled his first match in months. And how about this? It was his first one-on-one match. And I mean one-on-one, not one-on-one-on-one. His first one-on-one match since January 2019. His first on TV since April 2018. And his first one-on-one televised win since June 2014. Nuts. Jon Moxley has still never lost an AEW singles match. MJF was pinned in one for the first time at All Out. All of the official AEW men's champions wrestled for WWE in 2019. This, of course, does not include Brian Cage and his FTW championship. This Wednesday will be the first singles opportunity for a title Dustin Rhodes has had since the 2016 Royal Rumble. Besides Battle Royals, it's his first televised singles title match since February 2004 in NWA TNA for Jeff Jarrett's NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. And finally, Bayley and Sasha Banks' segment on SmackDown lasted 42 minutes from their opening promo through the match and the turn to Sasha Banks being taken away. It deserved every minute of it. And I hope that we deserve your subscription. Thank you guys so much. I cannot tell you guys how much we appreciate your support, your comments, what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show. If there's a certain stat, if there's a certain piece of news, if there's anything like that that interests you, that it perks your ear, that it does anything like that, your feedback is incredibly important to me. I want to hear about it. I want to know about it. Thank you, guys. We're out.